pompers down.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, gentlemen.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma.
And it's been a beautiful day here in Laramie, and looking forward to the program. And I'm assuming we have callers tonight, and so when they call in, we'll sure get them right in.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And again, everybody, welcome to Hope is Alive. I'm Ralph, and again with Pastor Cox. And we do thank you all for tuning in as you listen to testimony. And what is that testimony? Testimony of those who have been set free from either that which the torment them, demonic spirits, sicknesses, is being released and released from the captivity they're held bondage in. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, feel free to go to deliveranceusa.com. Just about everything we talk about is there at that website, or you can get the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, by Pastor Cox. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office, 307-742-7582. And Pastor, it snuck up on us again. I mean, today I was sitting there and I was working and I was like, today's Wednesday.
It has a way of doing that. It's amazing how quick the Wednesdays come around.
You know, as I was traveling today, I got on the mind, doing some driving time, I was on the mind of all the things that I've seen and witnessed in the last 3 or 4 years, and the importance of hearing all these testimonies, how they build your spirit man up, they build your strength up. And it's still so easily the enemy can whisper doubt in your mind, doubt about, you know, well, this healing or that healing, or just the lies that can come, because our adversary is a liar. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and they do fight against you, but, you know, those things come, and sometimes, even it happened today as I was driving, and a thought that I know it wasn't from the Holy Spirit came, and I just practiced perish the thought and told it to go away, but... The testimonies are important. because when you hear these things, you hear the wondrous work of God and the works that are done, especially done by other Christians, it really builds up your spirit, man, and helps you flex your muscles a little bit.
Well, amen, and the more you hear, the more exciting it gets. I love hearing testimonies, and of course, as we often say, people cannot argue with the testimonies. And some people don't believe in this type of ministry, and yet they can't argue with what happened in a person's life, what it was like before, after deliverance, what it's like now.
Amen. Now, I don't know, it was last week or week before, I get the prayer chain that comes in from Scriptures for America, and get a lot of prayer requests on there. Sometimes I'll take the time and pray for them individually, and at other times I'll just go through, Lord, please answer what they need. And somebody had put in there, we're asking your ministry because we see it works. And, you know, you kind of puff your chest up a little bit, but then I get to thinking, you know, that's sad, but it's disheartening that they think they have to go to a specific ministry to search out those things, when this should be in the hands of all Christians.
Absolutely. We've been given this power from the cross to do the works of Jesus in his name, and that's for all Christians. He said, believers shall cast out evil spirits. And he said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And those commissions are loud and clear. And sure enough, when we step out and do it, we see things happen supernaturally. It was 40 years ago I first tasted of the supernatural, and I couldn't go back. I wanted to see more and more of it. And 40 years later, I still want to see more of it.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, you got any updates on what happened this Monday?
Well, we had an exciting Monday evening, 21 cases. And the case I had was a local real estate broker, and 72 years old, and I was able to get the head demon up, and it was just like clockwork, the usual process, and I found out what was going on, and we dealt with it. And you know, one thing I'm continuing seeing is that these head demons are the ones that are responsible. Of course, he's got his other demons under his authority pulling the strings. But these head demons have this authority over these diseases. And it had put diseases on this man. And I've gotten more bold about saying to the head demon, well, if you put it on him, you can take it off. And they recognize they could do that. And so I'll have them do it. And the same thing happened today. I had a case with a 28-year-old young man, and I got the head demon up, and in the process, the disease is there was a degenerative cell thing on him. It was in the lines. His dad had had the same thing, died with it, and found out it was a generational curse, and got all that found out from the head demon, and I had him take it off him and put it on the head demon, and then, of course, I blew them all off to the feet of Jesus. So I tell you, I'm not surprised at anything. And we keep learning. The more we intelligence that we gain on the enemy, bizarre and as far out as it would seem in normal Christian thinking, praise God, we can do a lot more than we thought.
Yeah, praise God. So I'm just sitting there thinking about the age difference of the two people you worked with this week, and praise God for both. But it's just it almost makes your heart ache that someone had to wait till they're 72 to get set free. And but I am joyful. Yes, and I'm joyful that it did, and but I also rejoice that here's someone at the age 28 was set free. And the amount of life that he's going to have to continue working on, and I know you 44. It's about the same age when I met you and got set free. And I just sit back and think, and you know, wow, if someone could have shared this with me at 28, And
I
much wouldn't be there.
Look how many years you got ahead of you there, Ralph.
Yes, yes, I still have. hopefully 40, 50 more years ahead of me. And if the Lord lets me be around that long, and I will do my best to get the word out, get my best to witness to people. And, you know, there's not been a whole lot of witnessing lately. I guess I haven't met the right person. Did a little witnessing today to somebody, but it was in a different matter. But, you know, I know it'll come. I listen. I'm ready in season and out of season. And Lord will bring them because I'm willing to do it. And so it's just a fantastic thing. And again, as I talked about last week, I'm so thankful that someone shared with me and I was able to meet you and meet your staff out there and be able to get set free. And I just been reflecting a lot the past week or two about how enslaved I was to certain things, and how it's not even an issue anymore. Not even a thought in my mind, and just how enslaved I was to certain thoughts, how enslaved it was, and I just, in a thousand years, I'd have never thought, well, something just needs to be cast out of me.
Yeah.
So praise God. And you know, this work is needed. It's so needed with Christians. It's so needed in this world with the recent shootings that have been happening. I mean, these are people that are, they're overtaken. They're overtaken. Sometimes they you'll hear often, they don't know why. They just did it. And a lot of them are on
drugs. Well, you can guess what's going on.
Yep. Oh, I know what's going on. There's
demon drug,
which is a doorway open for the demons, and it is just. I'd like to hear a testimony someday when they're. I hope there's never another active shooting like that. But someone standing up and commanding them to stop in the name of Jesus, and I know that can happen because I have seen convenience store surveillance, and I remember specifically where a woman, you couldn't hear what she was saying, but she was giving a testimony of what was saying, but you could see what she was doing, and a guy came into her convenience store she was working and had a gun pointed at her, and she was pointing her finger at it, and she was telling in the name of Jesus, and she was talking to the demonic spirit that was affecting him, and in the name of Jesus, I command you to put the gun down, and I command you to go right now. And it's so funny, as you can see her just pointing her finger, this lady pointing his finger at this guy with his gun, and you could just see the absolute confusion in his eyes and his face, and he put the gun out and he just turned around and walked away. And that would just be an awesome testimony to hear. And we just wish that, you know, more people knew about this. Pastor, we have John. John, thank you for calling.
Hi, yes, this is John. I can hear you.
Yes, John, that's Ralph, and I'm so glad you called in tonight. You might back away from the phone a little bit. If you get too close, it kind of distorts, but I'm anxious for you to share this evening. So, John, why don't you go ahead and give some background on yourself and when you were born again, and also how you learned about deliverance, and then any thing you'd like to share on that about your deliverance or changes you've seen or other experiences. So go right ahead.
Okay. All right, I'll do that. Thank you, Pastor. And it is a privilege for you to even ask me to share my testimony. Of course, it's God's testimony of a great work, because anything that, and we all come to know this, anything that happens for us in the realm of deliverance and freedom and blessing, it comes straight from God. But we play a part in it. We have to want it. We have to realize we have the need. And then, boy, does he come in with the help in a wonderful way. So I was saved on August 21st, 1988. I basically came to a church service. I was kind of tricked into it. I was visiting my brother. I was living in New York, and I was visiting my brother in Oklahoma. And we went to church on Sunday. And I had about 3 or 4 days. I really needed to rest. And I said to my brother on Monday afternoon, well, you know, what do you think we're going to do today? And he says, well, we're going to go to church tonight. And I said, well, this is Monday night. We went to church yesterday, you know, and they were having a special speaker. And long story short, I went to that meeting, and before I realized it, I was praying with the pastor to ask Jesus into my heart. And the truth is, when I was praying with him, I was wondering, what if this really happens? What if something really changes? What if Jesus really does come into my heart? What am I going to tell my friends? What am I going to tell my parents? I just prayed the prayer basically out of respect for the pastor that was there. Well, consequently, Jesus did come in like a storm, in a wonderful way, and he affected every area of my life. But shortly after it, we knew there were still some problems, and one day, pastor was telling the church, we're going to take a few people and go to a deliverance conference, and we've never heard of this before, and really, any experience that the world seems to know about through television and movies about the demonic, it seems to magnify and glorify the demonic. It doesn't put the kingdom of God in a place of respect. It makes the demons look like they're so powerful and terrible and to be feared and all this stuff. And this is what my experience was. So he mentioned the deliverance conference, and I was like, well, I don't want to do this. Well, we went. My wife and I went. Had a wonderful experience. We were going to go to some classes, and they said at the end of the classes, they were going to let lay ministers pray for anyone who would like to just see what it's like to have a little deliverance session. So I signed up for it. Prior to this, I was sick all the time. Even though I was a Christian, I was sick because of just a nervous stomach, anxieties and fears that were from my youth. I didn't know why, but every holiday, every special event, I was sick all the time, even as a kid. And so I went into this deliverance conference, and we let them pray for us. And take a step back. Before we went into the prayer session, the Lord directed me to fast my lunch. And so everybody else was going out for lunch, and the Lord said to me, I want you to stay back and pray. So I realized this was serious. Well, the Lord was trying to show me, this is a serious thing that's about to happen to you. So as I was praying, the Lord directed me to 2 Samuel 22. Well, it's just full of statements about deliverance. 2 Samuel 22. It starts out with, the Lord shall light my darkness, he shall crush my enemies like powder. So I said, wow, that's a wonderful scripture. I never read that before. Well, I finished my prayer. It was time for everyone to come back, and we went to the deliverance session. The people prayed for me, and they said, wow, we just really felt like something wonderful happened for you. Well, I had to take it by faith, and we went on the rest of the weekend, came back. Well, I bought a book while I was there, and I realized one of the authors who signed the book signed it, and he put a little tag at the end of his signature, and it said Psalm 18. Now, when I got my Bible out, I didn't know this at the time, but I was just amazed. Psalm 18 is exactly the same as 2 Samuel 22. It's David was sharing about a great victory, and he shared it again in a song in Psalms. So that just excited me that something might have really happened for me. Well, the proof was in the future. Christmas and birthday, special events started happening in my family like usual, but I found out I'm not getting sick anymore. I'm not getting nervous about having a house full of company. I'm not having anxiety about things I don't know. And I just began to rejoice. That's been years. Well, we moved forward, and I found out I needed some more things changed in my life. And struggled with things like anger. And because I went so long as not a Christian, every guy ends up having struggles in sexual areas and things like this. I had anxiety issues that came on again later upon me. And we get into things by things I think that we experience and experiences of life. And I found out about Pastor Cox. And I came forward to one of the Monday night prayer ministry deliverance services at the church. And again was prayed for, and some wonderful things took place. And I didn't believe in deliverance, didn't understand it. I still talk to a lot of Christian people who think, oh, no, that's a bunch of garbage. Jesus did it all. But Jesus makes a statement. He says one thing that stands out. He says, these things shall follow those who believe, these signs. Those who believe, not any special anybody, just those who believe. And one of the things he says is you'll cast out demons. And so a lot of people just want to write that off, count it off as something from the past. Well, consequently, people are stuck with their struggles. The doctor can't help them. The psychologist can't help them. The books can't help them. The pills. But you can get prayed for. You know, I'm living proof of this. And I'm just a plain old nobody, just a regular believer. I'm just a guy in the fourth pew in the back on the right side. Nobody really knows who I am, but God does. And I just thought it was a pretty great thing. So I wanted to share that with you.
Oh, that's cool, John. Now, when you did, I ministered to you myself, didn't I?
Two times so far. It's been a wonderful experience. Both times I went away with a greater level of freedom.
Praise God.
Yes, that's what I'm doing.
Many people, I get them mixed up, but are you comfortable in sharing some of the changes you saw?
Oh, yeah. One of the things, I was going through a time of depression, and along with it comes anxiety, and I'd have these panic attacks. Now, I wasn't having these panic attacks until I started doing jail ministry. And I'm not saying it's cut and dry and clear what date it all started, but I wasn't having any of these problems manifesting until I began to step out and obey God and walk in the calling that He gave me. And so I noticed that as I was ministering to people in jails and prisons, it wasn't long after that I started dealing with panic attacks. And it would be things where if I would get in an uncomfortable situation or something that was out of control, I just would get sick to my stomach. This heat would just come over my body, and I was incapacitated. I was dysfunctional and embarrassed about it. I said, how can this be? I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I got all the promises. But I made my way, pressed through, to come to a deliverance conference. I mean, deliverance session with you, Pastor, and other people also. I had been prayed with and for. But what I'm saying is this whole thing about fear and anxiety would just paralyze me. Now I'm able to completely stop it. If it tries to come on me, I out loud, in the name of Jesus, command the devil to get out of here. He no longer has a part in me like he used to. He did when I was ignorant, but now I've been made aware and I've also been delivered from his control. I don't never say I was possessed, but I was definitely oppressed, and so now I walk in freedom from that. And I can't say he hasn't tried to put it on me since then, but I do not suffer from panic at all anymore. And it's a wonderful thing to know, because I own a business, and I have a jail ministry, and there's a lot of responsibility on me, you know, where naturally, it would be natural to be anxious, you know.
Sure. Well, do you remember anything else that left you that was you were delivered from?
I mean, those are the main things. I mean, if I ever needed help in any area, it was that. Here's something else that used to happen. I'd put my head on my pillow at night, and the war would begin. I mean, I couldn't rest well. I couldn't relax. I couldn't sit down and read a book. I'd love to read my Bible. I'd love to read spiritual books, learn how to grow in Christ. But I couldn't do it for very long before I felt like I needed to be doing something else, and I would just get all uptight. And now, ever since, you know, that you guys prayed for us last time, you prayed for me at the at your church, I once again have victory over that. And I walk in a freedom. I can sit down and relax, like sleep in my chair after work, get up, eat my dinner, enjoy my family at night. We went on a vacation. I couldn't hardly travel because I was afraid of a panic attack happening when I'm in a public place like an airport or something. And most people don't understand you when you have this problem. They think, well, you just need to get over that. You just need to, you know, toughen up. Well, I wish I could. I was on my way to get a black belt. I was studying karate. I was doing all the different belts. I was fighting real big guys. Fear of natural things wasn't my issue. When it comes to these spiritual things, this is a different dimension. You're up against an invisible enemy. He attacks you from the inside and the outside. This is nothing for children. And this is serious stuff. And the counsel of the natural mind doesn't work. And the thing is, what I noticed too, I think is worth noting, I could not deliver myself from this stuff. I couldn't pray it out of me. I spent hours, sometimes 2 hours, in prayer, out loud, just praying, crying out for help, casting the devil out, doing everything I could. I couldn't do it by myself. But when I got with believers like yourself, who would come together and take authority over that thing, I experienced a level of freedom I couldn't obtain on my own, because I believe the Lord gives this power, this right, this authority to his body to set people free, others in the body and people outside. And so I want to make sure that that's said, because I did not know that. I figured if I couldn't get it in prayer myself, I wasn't going to get it. And I found that to be not exactly the whole story. So, but about vacation real quick. So I took a trip recently out of the country, and it was my wife and I's 30th anniversary. I really wanted to do something special for her because I haven't been able to travel through the years. But I've been prayed for recently, and I said, you know what? I'm not just going to hope it's changed. I'm taking it by faith, but I'm even going to take action on it. I'm going to live my life. And so we got on this plane, and we flew to the Bahamas and had an incredible time. All the way there, all the way back home, not one episode at all, not one drop of any reason to have any kind of struggle. So I just want to praise God for that. And my wife's still thanking the Lord for it.
Well, it sounds like, John, you're starting to live life abundant. Amen.
Yes, sir. By God's grace.
That's what Jesus meant for all of us, but these evil spirits have a great way of blocking that. Where people are miserable, and you know there's many more out there. You're not the only one that's all over. The ones I worked with this week, same deal. They were tormented, and they were not having fun. They were living a tormented life.
Oh, yes.
Isn't it wonderful that we can take what we got from the cross and use it?
Amen.
Praise God. Well, any other experiences that come to you, John?
Yeah, recently in the jail, I was visiting on my normal routine Tuesday night, and a man came up to us, and he was put in this special room because of the severity of his distress, and he couldn't function. And what had happened was he had an accident, a vehicular accident, and a person died in it. And the person was launched out of their vehicle, and they crashed into his windshield, and the person died, and he got to see all this right in front of him. So he wasn't sleeping, and he was telling us that not to think any less of him. He asked God to forgive him, but he can't get peace. He can't close his eyes without seeing this person dying in front of him. And he was thinking about maybe just ending his life. He says, I don't have children. It's not a big deal. I believe God loves me, but I can't deal with this. I can't. So this other person was in the room and overheard it and said, oh, don't worry about it, buddy. I've seen a few people die. You'll never get that image out of your mind. And I said, no. I said, I'm here to tell you, you're both wrong. I said, I really believe. I mean, the Lord directed. I can't give you all the details, but the Lord directed us. I didn't just step out and just say this hopefully. I really believe God was directing through many confirmations. So I had the courage and the boldness and the confidence in the Lord to say, no, sir, you guys are wrong. I said, if you want help over there, sir, you can get it. But right now, this man's not going to see that picture anymore in his mind. He's going to rest at night, and you you're not going to want to kill yourself. And so we laid our hands on him, and we commanded the powers of hell that were tormenting this man to stop it and loose their hold of him, because this was God's property. And because of the blood of Jesus and everything I've learned from going to these deliverance conferences and reading, we prayed, and we set this man, the Lord set this man free through our prayer. And we asked him, there was a guy with us who didn't believe any of this. He was one of our minister friends. He didn't believe any of it. He said to the guy, we was done praying, are you feeling any different? Did something happen? And the guy says, well, no, but I'm hoping something did, you know? So we went back next Tuesday. And when we went back, that guy who was with us, the doubtful minister, said, I want to make sure we go in that cell and talk to that guy. So I said, yeah, let's do that. Actually, it wasn't a week later, it was a month, because we go to those cells once a month. So the guy come forward. Well, we didn't even have to ask him nothing. He was sitting there with his Bible ready, and we brought a songbook with us. We just brought a songbook, and so we could sing a few hymns with these guys. When you go into jail, you have to bring a soft-colored book. So I got this songbook under my arm, and we said to this guy, hey, well, man, how you doing? He says, man, God has been helping us. He has been helping us. He says, I mean, I can't tell you. It's like night and day since you guys left last month. I sleep at night. I know God's forgiven me. I believe he's going to do something with me. Use me and bring good out of this situation. I said, praise the Lord. The guy next to me, his mouth was open. He couldn't hardly believe it. Well, one of the cool things that happened was he said to me, he said, the only thing I'd ask for, if I could, he said, I don't know the words to this certain song. We were trying to sing this worship song and have a little church in here. And I got a songbook under my arm that I never bring into jail. And sure enough, that songbook had that song he was wanting to learn the words to. So I just ripped the page out and gave it to him. And, God was just on the move. And that guy ended up getting out of jail early. And he's just moved on. I don't know where he went, but God's helped him. And that's a story I really thought would be good to tell.
Wow.
To give Jesus the glory for.
A changed life, John. Right,
yes,
there?
Sir.
A changed life. How long did that take?
We prayed probably for not even 5 or 7 minutes.
Yeah. Praise God. Well, God's big. And I'm never surprised at anything. You can expect the supernatural. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And you got it.
Yes, sir. I've learned that from hearing you.
And what a witness to the fellow that didn't believe. Well, obviously, he believes now.
Yeah, well, he sure has more evidence than he did before that God is real.
Oh, I love it. Well, is there anything else? We've got just about a minute left. What else would you say to the listeners, John?
Well, I'd say this is the recipe, I believe, or the environment, that this can happen for you. You have to want it. You got to hold on, and the only thing that could stop this is if you give up. You just can't give up. Get with Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christians, people that just love Jesus and believe the Bible. And there's nothing that God cannot deliver you from. He says this, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, every sin. And then he says this, and he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I would say this, if Satan's involved, it's unrighteous. And God can cleanse us from every bit of it. So, Jesus is definitely alive, and we are definitely his body. And when the head is telling the body what to do, miracles are going to take place.
You got it. Well, go forth,
thank
brother.
You,
God bless you.
Yes, thank you for sharing that with us this evening. Powerful.
Yeah, well,
yes,
awesome,
thank
John.
You for having me.
All right. God bless,
bye-bye,
brother.
All right. Good night.
Good testimony.
Good night.
Pastor, we have Rich. Rich, thank you for calling us this evening.
Hey, good evening.
Yes, Rich. Thank you for calling in, and we've been having an exciting evening so far. I'm pretty pumped just hearing these these reports and testimonies and all. It's certainly a high adventure. Well, go ahead and, John, just go ahead and share. You've been on the show before, but you want to give a little background on yourself or anything and how you got into deliverance, et cetera. So just go ahead.
You bet. Well, what's happened here with us is, and this is my wife and myself and my oldest son, is we believe that God brings people across your path for a reason. And he wants us to minister to people. And certain people need deliverance ministry. It's as simple as that. We didn't know anything about it. Although, the interesting thing is, the Lord had been leading us to start to learn about it before we ever knew that he was going to call on us to do some deliverance ministry. And one of the keys and one of the pieces of the puzzle that came together for us was we had a young man about 30 years old who came here to our house to stay with us for a while. He actually is still here. He had some problems that we couldn't really fix, and but yet we knew God wanted us to minister to him. And so I prayed one day. I went out in my garden and I said, God, this fellow has problems, but I don't understand how to fix them. What does he need? And the Lord shared with me a partial scripture. He said to me right away, he said, and he was in his right mind and clothed. And when he said that, immediately the story of Jesus who cast out a demon from a man came to my mind. And I went, oh, okay, this is a demonic problem. God said, that's right. And then I immediately knew, I need to find a deliverance ministry. I need to learn about deliverance. And so that's when, a very short time later, about 2 days after I prayed that prayer, I had then said, okay, God, I don't know anything about this. Please teach me. Show me what I need to know. And in the churches these days, many churches, they don't have this. They don't understand it. They don't have the teachings. They don't know. Within 2 days, a friend of ours had brought a book, and it turned out it was Everett's book. Everett Cox has written a book, doing the supernatural works of Jesus. And we started to read this, and it had lined up with some things we had read before, and we were really happy to find that this deliverance ministry happened to be just about 5 hours away from us. It was a trip that we could make, and we didn't know how to do deliverance at that time, but we wanted to bring this young man for deliverance, and we did. And this man, who is still with us here, has changed so much now because of the deliverance and because of the things that were cast out that had been with him since childhood. These were things that a lot of them he had no choice for. They came in when he was too little to make a choice because of family problems and so on. That's how many of these things come in. So he is doing so well now that people actually see the difference in his face. And he is being able to really make good decisions now on his own that he wasn't able to make before. He's become more responsible. He's able to take care of himself better, which he wasn't able to do before because he was really having so many problems with all of this stuff piled on him from the enemy. Now, Carl, he was a believer. He was a believer when he needed the deliverance, which meant that, there was a layer there that people had not addressed. Even though he had been in the church and actually had received Christ in his heart. So, this is a thing where we found, it's another teaching, another lesson about deliverance is that yes, Christians can suffer from demonic oppression, which is what we see, what was happening with Carl. That's the young man's name. So Carl has a success story that we were able to see because we obeyed what Isaiah 58 says. It says that we are to set every one of those oppressed people free from the yokes of bondage when we find them. And it even says there that we're to take the poor and the naked into our home, which we did. We didn't know at the time that we were fulfilling Isaiah 58, but yet that's exactly what happened. And so God has had us learning more about deliverance because I know that he wants us to continue to help people in this way. The next thing that happened is another young man that my sons work with came to their workplace, got a job there, and right away, everyone there at this workplace said, wow, that guy, he's got demons. And it wasn't that he was particularly evil, but it was the way he acted and responded to people that really made people take note and say, this guy needs help. Well, no one wanted to help him. He was an outcast, and even his own family had dramatically hurt him, which is where a lot of these things came from. And we decided that we would take on the project because he came across our path, another fellow that needed help. And the first thing that we did is we invited him to our house to talk about salvation. And when we talked about it and we presented the simple gospel, the simple salvation plan with no complications, no religious complications, but simply what Jesus says needs to happen. And when we presented that to him, his reaction was rather interesting. What he said was, I didn't realize how far off I was. I thought I was saved until I hear what you're saying. And he said, I do want Jesus, and I did not know how far away I really was. So we said, wonderful. We want you to pray out loud with us and receive Christ into your heart. Now, this boy, he still had the demons, and what we did is we wanted to do a deliverance with him, but we wanted to have him saved first. So when we prayed, before we prayed a prayer of salvation, we bound up the demons. We gagged them. We commanded them to be still and to not affect his decision making or his mind or his ability to receive Christ. He had some physical trouble saying that prayer out loud, but he got through it. And when he did, he said he felt very funny about it. And I said, well, I said, don't worry. I said, that's because you still have some problems, and we're going to talk to you about those, and we're going to take care of those next. So what we did is we said, we've got a worksheet we took from Everett's ministry, the deliverance worksheet that lists out some demonic problems that people may have. I said, we want you to take this back home. I want you to start filling this sheet out. When you come back, we're going to help you go through it, and then we're going to do a deliverance, and we're going to get rid of this stuff. And he said he wanted to do that. I said, this is wonderful. So that's the next step we did. And we had him come back the next week. He brought a sheet. He hadn't given it a whole lot of work, but we went through it with him and gave him some time. He worked through it. Then when we looked at his sheet, he had checked off quite a few things in certain areas. One of them was fear. He had very many things attached to him with that. And fear is a spirit. So I looked at him and I said, now what we're going to do is I'm going to look you straight in the eye, but I'm going to be talking to the demons. And I said, I'm going to start casting them out. And I said, different things you may feel, you may see things happen. I said, don't be afraid, because Jesus is stronger than anything that's in you. And he's in you now. So he's going to overcome all these things. You don't have to be afraid. And as we went through the list, I was kind of surprised. I'd never done anything before like that. We first did the door closings. Doors have to be closed so that these things don't have any rug to stand on. And so we went through the door closings, and we broke the soul ties. And he had quite a few bad ones, bad soul ties, mainly from his family. And he had some other things. He'd never been involved in the occult, which was good. But we went through the door closings, and we did some inner healing, and that seemed to go well. And then we said, now we're going to get to the list of things here, and we're going to start going through them. And I'm new at this, let's say. So I don't understand all of the techniques yet, and I don't know exactly how they work. Everett has the head demon technique, which I didn't use because I really wasn't sure how to do it, but I now know, because I've been through more training. But I went ahead and I started casting these things out. And what we saw was, we saw all kinds of different reactions as these things left. He would tell us what he was feeling or what was happening, and two or three times, just like Everett has seen before, maybe probably talked about on the radio, sometimes these demons cause the face of the person to contort. We saw that twice with him as the demon came out. He said, and we never told, this is the beauty of it, we never told Daniel, that's the name of the young man, we never told him anything about what the manifestations might be as they come out, so that he wouldn't have any idea in his mind. He actually remarked at one time, I don't think I've ever yawned so much in my whole life. And then some other things happened. And they were all typical reactions as people are being released from these demonic powers. And after that, he was free from those things, and he has been free ever since. Well, he is slowly being changed by the Lord now. So, but one thing that hadn't happened yet was he had not been baptized. And so we had him back for another week, and we said, now, you have not been baptized, but the Lord commands that you will be baptized. You want to be baptized because you want to be obedient, and it's a show of your repentance, and you're actually also, of course, the being buried with Christ and raised up a new man. And we explained what that means and so on and so forth. And he said, well, he started thinking about it. Yeah, I do want to be baptized. He said, look, we have a pond here, and we can just take you right back there right now. Why don't we do it? And he said, okay. And he said, what about poisonous snakes? And I said, hey, I said, we don't have any of those. Don't worry about it. And so my oldest son and the other young man who was set free from the demons actually went in the water. I stood on the bank and took some pictures, and we baptized him. So he's gotten saved here at our house. He's been set free from demons, and he got baptized here. So we said that's the first baptism probably in that pond, but we pray that it's not the last. We want to see more. And I think we will, because God is really working. But we're so excited to be a part of doing deliverance ministry, and we see the need for it everywhere we look. The sad part for me is that the people that are sitting in churches, many of them don't even know they need it because it's not being taught. It's something that people don't really believe could be possible. They don't understand that we have three parts, and that while the demons can't be bothering a saved person's spirit, they can certainly be affecting them through their mind, because they're in the physical part of the body where there may be things that are not turned over to God, that are dark areas where these things are still lurking. And it's so simple. It's not dramatic. It's not scary. It's not Hollywood. These things have to come out because the power and the authority is in our hands through the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave it to us to use. And then we have to pick up that sword and use it. And if we don't, if we're not willing to fight for these people's lives, we see that our brothers and sisters in Christ are being hindered and hurt, and people all around them, and they don't even know why. And the scripture is very clear. It says that we are there to set people free and to break every yoke of oppression. Well, that's demonic yokes. That's demonic oppression. And there are so many people that need help this way that don't even know what they need. So I'm here to tell you as a witness of it. And Everett, if it's all right, I'd like to share not so much the details of what the person's experience was, but you had me in with you on a deliverance on Monday. And I would just like to share, if I could, just a little bit of how this worked.
Go ahead.
All right. So this is what I wanted, and the reason that I was there is because I had not been through a training session yet, and Everett has 40 years of experience, and I respect that. I think it's super important that we as a church body take advantage of what God has put in the leadership in people like Everett that understand this, that have worked with it. So I wanted to be there because the people that are heroes in this thing, and I don't mean that to puff anybody up, I mean that as a humble hero, people who are, I should say, obedient to Jesus to do it. These are the people that aren't well known, that may be just, you know, you wouldn't even recognize it. They're not out there in front of the cameras for glory. They're giving all the glory to God. Well, Everett's one of those people. And he has been around some of the greats in the ministry. Frank Hammonds is a man that he learned from and was contemporary with. And Derek Prince was around during that time and back in the 70s. And another great in this field. And yet, people don't know about it today. So anyway, that's why we wanted to go and learn, and we have more to learn, but we have learned enough to be able to really do this. And I sat in on one of these sessions with Everett, and I actually saw when he did the head demon technique that he was able to get to a demonic entity that was in charge of the other demons inside this person that he worked with. And it turned out that it wasn't all the ones that were checked off on the list in big time. It was one that had been checked off, but you wouldn't think that it was the head one, but it turned out it was. And it was actually one that carries a 10-generation curse, illegitimate birth. And under that were several other demons operating, including a demon of death, a lying spirit was there, lying to this person. And this thing admitted all of that stuff right there in the session, not in some different voice or anything scary. It just was the regular person's voice, but it was definitely not that person. You could see a switch happen whenever Everett called for this particular demon to manifest and come up so that it could be addressed. This person switched over to that demonic personality. It wasn't anything scary, but it was definitely a different person. And when that happened, the demon could be addressed and then cast out along with the rest of them. And this is what I wanted to find out about, was the head demon technique, also how it worked, and just to be on the other side of deliverance. Everett will tell everybody the best way to learn how to do it is to go through it yourself first, which we did. My wife and I and my eldest son went down. We went through a deliverance, and we went back and did it. Went through a second part of one because my wife had felt that, and that there were some things that didn't quite get addressed in the first one, even with myself and even with her. And I was agreeable. I'm nothing to hold on to. If it's a demon, I want to get rid of it. So I went through the second one, and then I wanted to go through some training where I could actually be an observer and watch how it happens from somebody who's had much experience. And I will say that it was amazing. And this man that was there was set free. And many things came out where he could be set free. So it was...
Remember the healing,
the whole,
Richard?
Go
remember
ahead.
The healing part? Remember the healing
yes.
part? He'd had a... some back problems, and let's see, wasn't there cancer there, or am I thinking of another case?
Yes, it admitted that it was trying to put cancer on him.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. So these demons actually were, and Everett, what you got out of this particular encounter, this thing admitted that it was putting a whole lot of different health issues out there as part of that spirit of death to try and kill this man. And actually, he had had some major health problems and been in and out of the hospital for several years and had a terrible problem that just about killed him this last time he was in. And yet God preserved him and saved him so that he could get help. And I think God led him to the ministry. He said he just looked it up on the computer, and he didn't even know what to look for, but he typed in the word deliverance. And up came your ministry at the very top, and he said, then that's the one I'll go to. And I'm glad he did, because, you know, of all the people that have the experience, this particular, your ministry has so much experience with this that God sent him to the right place. And is an older person, so he's had experience in the churches and hasn't really gotten any relief from it because, of course, they don't know about it. And but yet I detected with him a very gentle spirit, a man who does love the Lord very much. And so I know God wanted him free, and he's had a lot of hindrances from these things, and I think he's free now. And I know he'll be improving over the next few weeks as he begins to feel the load is gone from his shoulders.
Richard, we're about out of time. Just in a few seconds remaining, any other comments you'd like to give to the listeners?
The only thing I would say is, if you think you have a problem, don't be afraid of it. Address it head on. Pick a time when you can come to a deliverance ministry session. There is nothing to be afraid of. It's straight out of the Bible. And you will be amazed at how free you can be, because Jesus wants to set you free, and you can be. And by the way, at the very ending of that, the tools that this ministry will give you to stay free on your own are the best. And that's the point. We want to see people set free so they're able to walk on their own and they don't have to keep coming back and going through things again and again. You can stay free on your own. You'll learn the techniques to do it, and
Amen.
There's worksheets to help you do it.
But thank you, Rich. That was a wonderful testimony.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You
God
bet.
Bless you, brother.
I'm excited. I really am. God's moving in a great way. And,
go forth.
And this ministry is a great part of it. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Thanks, brother.
Good evening, brother.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
You know, Everett, he was sitting there talking about helping those people that so many would cast away and not have anything to do with them. And it's so easy for us to do. And the judgmental spirit is to think, well, this person's getting what they got deserved to them, and not realizing what could have happened in their young life that's brought them to that point, and the generational curses they could be involved with. And obviously, you know, a lot of times there is unrepented sin, but Jesus didn't come for the healthy. He came for the sick.
Yes.
And we have to remember that. And instead of judging someone you see, maybe we ought to start praying for that person and just binding the spirits, even if it's just silently, binding the spirits and asking the Holy Spirit to speak to them, talk to them, and help them. But obviously, if you have the opportunity like Rich did, which is just wonderful, take somebody in under your wing and help them out. So we do thank everybody for coming this evening and joining us. If you have any questions about deliverance, deliveranceusa.com, where you can get Pastor Cox's book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office, 302-7582. Again, we thank you for joining us. Have a great evening, and God bless.
God bless.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.